Zappo. Welcome to Dr. Fred Bell's Health, Science, and Energy Show. It's a wonderful, warm day, beautiful day in July. Whoops, did I say July? I think I meant January, but it was so warm down here in Laguna Beach today, I thought it was July. Tonight we have an open mic show, I guess you could call it that, the meaning that we'll be talking to the people out there. I'm letting Steve Barish have the evening off, and I'm letting my guests have the evening off. So if you guys want to call in and talk to Dr. Fred, that's not a real problem. There are several things that I want to go over tonight. I'm going to do some book reviews, which are really good. And, you know, on top of that, they're kind of fun. But I want to hear from everybody out there. It would be good. I don't know what you guys have been up to all week. And like Don says that the website has been going down. He wasn't kidding. But I guess we're still on the air here anyway. And so give us a call. And, oh boy, this website's a mess. I can't use my, live chat, you know, instant BBS chat tonight. But anyway, I'm assuming that I'm on the air here. And I'll check that in a minute. And I also want to welcome my people down in Florida. 1340 Tantalk Radio, FAM-FM, above the ground and computer stations. We'll have some fun here tonight. And I'm going to check on BBS Radio again here to see if we're going yet. Doesn't look like it. That's just, at least on this computer, it doesn't work. I was looking at a really interesting thing today over as a video over on... here's a video over on... MySpace, not MySpace, but MyYahoo.com on the front page, or Yahoo.com, use that as your server, about Billy's UFO Aliens blog, and then the lady took a video. It was done 12/21/07. It was kind of interesting, I thought. Kind of really cool, actually. And we still got BBS Radio on the air here. We've had an interesting week. We'll start with our guests next week. Most people are not available, people that I want to do the show, because everybody's still on vacation and holiday. And most people that don't come back till like the 15th of January, which is a little ways off yet. No, I guess that, I don't know if we're on the air or not, but can't tell. Because the station is not on right now. What I'm going to do is I'm going to pause for a second and actually get my cell phone out here if I have it handy. Give Don a call and ask him if we're actually on the air here. I might be talking to myself because this whole thing is down, looks like to me. Anyway, so as I talk, I'll be making a phone call. You can believe that. Get to hear a live phone call. We are, in fact, on the air. And we'll call Don up right now. See if he's there. All I see is, I don't see how people will be listening to the show if it's all this stuff is up. Yes, sir. No sense in doing a show if we're not on the air. Hey, Don, it's Fred. I'm on the air, but the website doesn't seem to be there anymore, so are people able to listen to me or not? CBS Radio is just a bunch of garble on the screen right now. Huh? Yeah, I got every... Yeah, because it's... All right. With how do other people get online now? anyhow, we're fooling around here. I'm not sure that we're on the air. I don't see how we could be because I can't. Yeah, is there a caller there or what? I can't tell. Anyhow, I'm supposed to be on the air, but I don't see how because I can't hear myself. I'm not sure how anybody else can hear me either. What to do. Is there somebody, any callers coming in? Hello?
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, I can hear you.
Oh, can you? What are you
yeah.
tuning into anyway? I mean, are you getting BBS radio?
Well, I'm getting it on BBS radio. There is some weirdness on the screen when you first go up there, but I poked around a little bit and found the links I needed to find you.
Oh, okay. So there are links and all this stuff.
Yeah, there is. I don't know what you have to do. I just kind of messed around until I, found the right path.
Yeah, we're actually, and I'm on the air with you now. To our audience, apologize what's going on, but it seems that our website about an hour and 20 minutes ago started playing yo-yo, and it seems to having function errors, which is giving warnings because it can't pull in the proper pages without the proper permissions. So something's reset our permissions, and we have the techs working on that to figure out just exactly how that occurred and why it occurred. Until then, you can still connect up to the streams. There's a lot of you still listening. The streams are good. The website might play yo-yo for a little bit until we figure out what's going
on. How do they get on there anyway?
Well, that's why I encourage most listeners to put a little player on their page.
Oh.
One of those little flash players, because those, you can always connect up to them. If our website goes down, you're still tuning in. Your website visitors are tuning in. So people, if they have their own websites or they just want to promote good talk radio and good music, we have a little link there that says Syndicate BBS Radio. I think we're the first in all of Internet talk radio to ever literally open source our streams so that anybody can put it on their websites at any time for any reason.
Yeah, I think I want to figure that out myself.
Really simple. It takes a second to do.
Yeah.
And then you never have to worry about our website going up and down because you're not even really running the streams from our website at all.
Oh, cool. That's good to know. So anyway, who's my caller on the line there?
All right, I'll let you go. Thank you.
Who's on the line now?
This is Lori.
Oh, Lori, where are you calling from?
In Fort Worth, Texas.
Fort Worth?
Yep.
Cool. What's going on down there tonight?
Oh, not a whole lot that I know of.
Just hanging out, huh?
Yep, just hanging out.
So are you a regular listener of this crazy show?
I sure am.
That's great.
Yep.
What can I do for you tonight?
Well, you talk about so many different things, and you go so quick. I have lots of questions about things that you said and then went off onto something else.
When my guests are not available, that's my time to get on the air. And usually during the holidays, in the middle of the summer, everybody's not around, so then everybody we can talk.
And I have questions about, I have a projector and I have a receptor.
Right.
And so I was wondering how I wore the receptor for 3 months.
Right.
And then I put on the projector.
Right.
And are you supposed to wear, is this just a choice or is there a certain way to do it? Like, must wear them both together or wear them at separate times, or do you just wear the projector, the receptor, when you're not wearing the projector, or what do you do?
Well, that's cute. What you do is, first of all, you need to understand what happens to you when you wear any of them.
Yeah.
That's kind of the first step. And there's a difference between the two of them, and I'll explain it, I'm just trying to think of the best way and the simplest way to explain it. Okay, now, first, we have a way of defining it. The receptor, is a scalar wave quantum transforming device. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm going to define that for you in a minute. And the projector is a quantum entanglement projection device. Okay, now, we'll define that a little bit better. Okay? Scalar waves are, if you look at the pyramids on the receptor, you'll see pyramids that are upside down, and you'll see pyramids that are right side up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. if I were to take a pyramid, just like one of the pyramids that we sell at our shop, and put it on your head in a normal way and stick your right or left arm out, push down on it, you'd test pretty strong. Most people
yeah.
do, okay? If I were to flip that pyramid over on your head and make it upside down so the point just touches your head and the base
mm-hmm.
is sticking up at the sky, you'd probably test weak, okay?
Oh.
Because your yin and yang energies would be out of balance. As in our society, this is pretty common. If I do it to a Buddhist priest or something, I might not get that reaction.
Yeah.
Somebody that spends huge amounts of time meditating and balancing yeah. the female and the male energy. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the body is made up of four basic atoms. Okay, the carbon atom, which is a pyramid shape, which is a receiver, and then nitrogen and carbon and oxygen. Nitrogen is for making proteins to make your body's skin and everything. Oxygen is for animating your body, in other words, putting your life force in it. And then the hydrogen atom is your consciousness. It's the thinking and the God feelings and communicating and you know, your thought process. It's all the hydrogen atom.
Uh-huh.
So what happens is if the hydrogen atom gets askew, in other words, meaning it goes off and the male energy overwhelms the female like it does males and females, it starts causing the body to start going through a bunch of compromising processes to compensate for the fact that the harmony is not there at the frequencies of hydrogen. Hydrogen can be broken down, and you can look at it as having seven different colors, like the colors of the rainbow and seven different musical sounds. Like in one of the things we sell on our website is a hydrogen generator.
Oh, yeah, I heard that thing when you played it on Art Bell.
What that does is that does the same thing as the receptor, but it does it with sound.
Oh.
The receptor does it with everything, so it complements the receptor. And so what's happening when you're wearing the receptor, and we test you for whatever color stone that you have, we are actually increasing the amount of, let's say, the musical note C. If your thyroid is weak, your color would be green, would be weak. You'd be wearing,
mm-hmm.
Obviously an emerald receptor. So what happens is the body is constantly reproducing cells at the rate of 60, about 90 million cells per second if it's healthy, and something less. Obviously, your body is reproducing itself at something less, or you wouldn't need a receptor in the first place. And
right.
I've never seen anybody yet on this planet, including Buddhist priests, that don't need one, okay?
Yeah.
So the compensating device that balances the chi force, the yin and yang, the male-female energy, wherever you want to call it, is called scalar wave. It works on tensor scalar frequencies, okay, biofrequencies in the body. And when your body is susceptible to these frequencies coming from the receptor, it stops the aging process quite a bit, because when you are under the stress of normal day life with other people and, you know, noisy buses and dirty fumes and trucks and all that, it's speeding up your aging process quite considerably. It's real interesting to note, in my book, Inside Track, I've gone all the way back in history, talking about the history of this science, to a guy named Thales, who was Pythagoras's teacher. And Thales lived between 585 and 625 B.C., the very first scientist. That's where science, he called him the father of science. He, like most people coming up through the ages, lived well into their 70s, 80s, 90s. All of these people did. They didn't have this ridiculous short lifespan that we have today. They didn't have all of the medicines and all of the nutritional things that we did today. Although Pythagoras society, we're all vegetarians.
Mm-hmm.
But as we added the pollution and everything, we started shortening our lifespans. So the receptor is strictly there to make your DNA respiral and to give you, your cell life back. And the body takes 7 years to reproduce all of the cells in the body. In other words, every single cell in 7 years is going to be reproduced, all of them, even the bone. The first set of reproduction occurs in the 3 months, which is the red blood cell, which is very critical.
Mm-hmm.
So wearing the receptor assures your body that it's getting the proper DNA frequencies. You follow me?
Mm-hmm.
That's what it does.
I have a Moldavite in mind.
Yeah, Moldavite's fine. Moldavite is going to, it's a darker stone. It's in the green range, dark green, so it's going to work through your thyroid a lot. But also, the moldavite works on some of the higher centers. The smoky quartz, the moldavite, and the diamond also work somewhat through the crown chakra.
Oh, that's good.
Okay. Yeah. And when you wear these, what happens is it conditions the central nervous system going from the base of your brain, okay, to the bottom of your spine. There are 72,000 major wires that conduct electricity from your brain to all your vital organs.
Right.
The aging process has a tendency to put resistance on there and slow down the electrical. It's like a big ohm meter. It's like a big resistor in there.
Uh-huh.
So the receptor, and oftentimes we use the pyramids too, to, you know, worn on the head to help this.
Yeah, I have one of those too.
It causes the body to rejuvenate itself, and your body starts to get younger, and you start to feel a lot better. Okay. Now that's what the receptor does, and then of course you change. People change stones as. If somebody starts out with a stomach problem, they might start out with a brown citron, you know, which is liver and all
uh-huh.
of those organs. And after maybe a year, the liver is in pretty good shape. It's a pretty strong organ, and the kidneys are working better. Then we might move them up to maybe their heart's a little bit weak, so we put them into a sapphire, blue sapphire, and they wear that for a year or two. And then we get up into the thyroid gland. That's the next weakest thing, and we fix that. And then we go on to the diamonds and the moldavites and that kind of stuff.
Ah, okay.
So now some people feel these things because they're sensitive right away. Other people don't feel them for a year, and they'll
yeah.
start feeling them when they take them off. That's usually when you're so numb that you don't feel them while you're wearing them, and you'll start noticing. Most people do when they take them off,
mm-hmm.
like something is missing. The other thing is there's a lot of radiation in our water. It's 15 to 18%. Radioactive because of all the nuclear tests.
Yeah.
So the receptor, the silver receptor and the gold receptor, has a tendency to become radioactive. And because it's better to have that radioactive than you, which that's
yeah.
for negating cancer. So, and it's also balancing your pH. So if that happens, you need to wash it off every day. I wash my receptor off every single day.
Yeah, I have been doing that too.
Yeah. Have you felt that heavy feeling when you wear it?
Yes, I have.
Yeah. And that's what radiation does. It's trying to produce free radicals. And free radicals really aren't good for the body. I mean, because it's an electron that can go anywhere and pair up with anything.
Yeah.
Free radicals typically like to go see viruses because viruses are just begging for them. And,
yeah, right.
Yeah. And then, of course, your body goes acidic, so that brings in cancer. That's one of the big things that happens. Okay. So why we recommend that people wear the receptor a lot is because when you get into the next stage of our work, which I'm working on now, the quantum fields, and quantum, by the way, means small. You know, it means very
mm-hmm.
small.
Yeah.
A lot of people think quantum is some far-out technical term, but it's not. It means small, and smallest amount. So another thing that the receptor is doing is working all the way down to the source of the DNA, which science today calls the string theory. And the DNA is really the macro version of the string theory, which was is a micro action in the body. And if you were to look at these particles, and they're smaller than electrons and smaller than protons, if you were to look at them, you know, microscopically, you'd see they're all dancing and having fun. They're kind of like doing rock and roll. Body becomes musical, which then attunes itself to what's called the music of the spheres, which Pythagoras claimed that he could hear, whereas a lot of people, remember, he was a very strict vegetarian, and anybody in the Pythagorean society had to be strictly vegetarian,
mm-hmm.
because meat and all that stuff, even though they didn't have hormones in it in those days, still blocks your system quite a bit, you know, killing the bandwidth of your vision,
yeah.
and killing the bandwidth of your hearing. That's the receptor. Now, before I go into the projector, which is the next thing, do you have any questions on what we've just covered?
No, that's good. I've had mine on every single day since I got it.
Yeah. How long ago did you get it?
In early September.
Oh, okay. Well, you're a newbie then.
Yeah.
That's cool. How'd you find out about us anyway?
Let's see. I think I heard you on Coast to Coast maybe a year or so ago.
Yeah.
And then from reading the website, I found out about BBS Radio and your show on there. So it's kind of followed you over here.
Yeah, we have a lot of fun. We get a lot of followers. And then you might check out the RaiseTheTruth.tv website at some point.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good one. We're going to be putting up a lot of new videos on that one. Okay, now let me go into the projector, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is an entirely, first of all, the projector is no scalar wave, no yin and yang, none of that stuff.
Okay.
No, it doesn't work that way. What the projector works is through the unification of human auric fields, and it allows the true attainment of focus, you know. So the receptor works the, you know, like I said, the via the DNA and the ribbon theory of superstrings, and then it utilizes the spiraling stuff. But the projector is a quantum entanglement projection device. And what that means is once you have your frequencies, you know, of oxygen, hydrogen, nitrogen, and carbon on Q in some kind of a fairly well alignment to what's natural, and that takes a little while, that's what the receptor will do, along with meditation and some good health habits. But then what happens is now we're looking at all of the people you've known in past lives, all the people that you've known in this life where you've had a common interest, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And that means if you have had or do presently have a common interest, then you have what's called entanglement with that person and or person. And so what happens is these entanglements make a very good source of communication. And also, once entangled, it's forever. So if you look at the entire universe as a piece of paper with everything in two dimensions and make all the imprints of everything that's on there, you come up with what's called a hologram, okay?
Mm-hmm.
A hologram is consistent. It just takes time for us. If you take a picture of a butterfly with a laser, and then you take that picture and shine a light on it, you won't see any butterfly. But if you shine a light on it with a laser and then hit another laser at right angles, you'll see a three-dimensional image jump off of the picture plate. You follow me?
Mm-hmm.
So it takes two lasers to do that: one to make it, and then one to shoot on it sideways. Okay, that process, okay, is an entanglement process. Okay. And because it's an entangled process, if we were to take that picture, it's called the interference pattern, if you were to take that picture and cut it in half, you wouldn't have two halves of a butterfly.
No, you have the whole contained in each half.
Right, exactly. And as small as you made that thing, and you kept making it smaller and smaller and smaller, all the way down to one electron and one proton, one atom, it's still all going to be contained in that, in a quantum field. Even if it's a one atom big, okay, the
mm-hmm.
entire intelligence is still there, and it's forever. And so when you work with quantum, you know, meaning small, and smallest is of energy, when you start working with that and you start focusing on it and really understanding it, it doesn't become a mystery anymore. It becomes quite simple. It becomes, you know, scientifically it's explained in vast arrays of formulations, but in reality, it's simple as understanding what it is and accepting it for what it is. Because if you don't accept it for what it is, then by the law of the quantum, you know, the quantum laws, mm-hmm. it's creating an interference pattern that's interfering with your understanding. And you've created that, and it's giving
yeah.
you what you ask for.
Yeah.
You follow what I'm saying?
Yeah, I sure do. It's like the observing the results of experiments are changed by the observers of them.
Right. Exactly. That's the entanglement
yeah.
process.
It's because of what you expect when you are looking at it.
Right. A guy named de Broglie, a scientist about 100 years ago, came up with it. He was stunned, you know, it's just Einstein could never figure this out, but he came up, you know, with the fact that nothing is perfect. There's always an imperfection in there until you get it right. And so, therefore, if you have two people trying to communicate back and forth, it's the influence of the third that actually sends the message. The two people trying is called the classic connection, and the third person acting as an intermediary is the quantum, and it's instantaneous.
Oh.
Yeah. See, what they do, the way they do it is they'll take two photons of light, okay? In quantization, the way it's done in the lab today to prove all this is they look at electrons spinning up or spinning down. You know, if they're spinning up, they call them up quarks. If they're spinning down, they're down quarks, okay?
Right. Okay?
And the particles within them, okay? So they spin up or they spin down. And these fall in a family called fermions, okay? That's what happens when you get into physics. Now,
right.
So now let's say I have two electrons, and I have two beam projectors, and I have two photo detectors, right? Mm-hmm. And I got a beam projector in Chicago, and I have a receiver, a photo cell that will tell me when that photon gets there in New York, and I got one in Los Angeles, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, if I send off, first of all, I have my photo detectors connected together so I can make a measurement, okay? And I got about, to work with something like this at that distance, I only need 49 nanoseconds. In electronics today, that's not very much. We can easily measure 49 nanoseconds. In other words, that's how long it took for a speed of light electron to get there.
Yeah.
Anything less than that would be, you know, 4 or 5 nanoseconds. So we release these two photons, okay? They're both polarized, let's say, with up-spin quarks. They're polarized up, okay, in their spin. Okay, that one heads for New York, one heads for L.A.
Right.
Okay? As the one in New York is closer, it would theoretically get there sooner. But what we're going to do is we're going to turn our polarizer. We're not going to touch the upspin photons. We're only using two. And then what we're going to do is the polarizer in New York is going to not accept the up. It only wants a downspin. Okay.
Ah.
And we didn't make any changes when we released the photons. They were both upspin photons.
Right.
Okay. But now what happens is the one gets to New York. It won't be able to pass through the photo detector because we changed the polarity of the photo detector. It will only take a down polarization. Immediately, the other electron, even though it hasn't gotten to LA yet, immediately adjusts its spin and it won't go through the detector that's still set for it to go through. That's how amazing this is. And that's why science is just raising all kinds of a ruckus about it, because that other electron, we only messed with one photo detector at one end, which is our classical connection.
Yeah.
The other one going the other way to L.A. automatically knew that we changed the photo detector. We didn't touch either photon, but we did change the photo detector. So automatically, it couldn't go through the detector out in L.A. even though the polarity matched. And that's instantaneous, okay?
Yeah.
That's how they say the classical connection, which is the 49 nanosecond measuring window that we have versus the speed of light. But that's the classic connection to verify all this in normal, you know, everyday theoretical physics, and versus the quantum effect of the instantaneous reverse of spin on the electron or the photon that's on its way to LA. And they've done that, and you know, they started out doing it at 3 or 4 feet in a lab, and now, you know, with two detectors, and now they're doing it halfway around the world.
Yeah.
But that's how this stuff works. So once you put one of these projectors on, you are polarizing the spin of photons and electrons in whatever you're focusing on. You follow me? If you're focusing on some relative, you're changing their energy for them, whether you know it or not. It's instantaneous. And typically, if they don't know you're changing it, you're making it a very effective change.
Yeah.
Okay? And a good example of that, when you get good at it, is, you know, they use it for remote viewing. You know, The remote viewer comes in and he clears his mental screen, and he's given an assignment of a location of someone. Sometimes they'll have an article and sometimes not. If they have an article, like say this was this guy's necktie, or this was his handkerchief, we don't know where he is. He's been kidnapped. That's a classic connection. So now what the viewer does is not acknowledge a classic connection and allow spontaneously, without even focusing on it, for something to pop up in his head, which encases his view. You follow me?
Yeah.
If he tries to say, I think I'm holding the handkerchief, and I think he's in Rome, or I think he's in South America, you've just blown the classic connection. I mean, the quantum connection, because you're thinking. You can't do that. So the big thing is letting it go. Just not And that's what people are learning now how to do, is let it go. And you'll find when you let it go, it's overwhelming what the results will be. Whether you're doing healing or material things or whatever, it's overwhelming. It really is. And the more it happens and the more you see it, it's almost, I can almost tell when the phone rings now, even if it's a junk mail call, I know that that's a junk mail call. I don't even know what part of the country it's coming from. You get really sensitized to it after a while.
Mm-hmm.
And it's cool. I mean, I like it. I mean, some people, it's too intense. Now, for example, how do you control the intensity of it? Well, we can control it. It's like a rheostat. You know, how hard do you want this to work? Do you want it to work very light, or you want it really strong? If you want it strong, we go to a white stone. If you want it very light, we use a violet stone. And mm-hmm. I've got a lot of very, very well-known, very world-famous psychics that work with presidents and dictators and dictators too, and everybody, you know, all over the world. And they are very super sensitized. And most of them cannot handle a projector with anything white in it. They mostly go for yellow stones, like yellow sapphires or yellow diamonds. So if you're already there anyway to a degree, like these people are, when you put this thing on, it pushes you right over the top. So what people have to do then is they have to throttle it back a little bit.
Yeah.
You follow what I'm saying? What kind of stones do you have in yours?
You know what? I'm not sure.
Yeah.
That's really interesting, because I know they asked us about the projector, I mean the receptor, what stones we wanted in them.
Yeah.
They didn't ask us anything about the projector.
Yeah. Well, normally we ship them with cubic zirconians, but...
Okay, well maybe that's what they are.
Yeah, it's a natural stone, but like Steve Barrett, you ever listen to him on his show? He's got a healing show on Friday night. He's
I've heard
Sunday,
him.
Saturday night. Sometimes. He used to be my sidekick every night on the show. Yeah, he used cubic zirconians, but now he went to diamonds.
Oh, okay.
The diamonds are really intense, you know, over white diamonds. They don't have to be a super quality. He's got a pretty good quality in his unit.
Well, intensity is okay with me.
Yeah, diamonds work pretty well, but I personally work in the yellow region myself, even when the receptor's got a yellow diamond in it, because I'm a very amped up person, and I start wearing white, you know, a stone.
Yeah.
I get really speedy. I get really wired. I got more energy than a 3-year-old on steroids.
Oh,
you know? So that's why I keep myself, you know, mellowed back by using the yellow stone.
Well,
have you got a standalone yet?
No.
Yeah.
It'll be a while before I have one of those.
Yeah, well, what happens with a standalone is when you're wearing the thing, the standalone, because it becomes a giant amplifier and it has what's called SPDC, and that's a spontaneous quantum release of photons, excessive photons, that occurs when we shoot two lasers into it, which comes with them. You know, it comes with a couple of small lasers.
Yeah.
And so this then makes this projector like it's on steroids, you know. Serious. It took me a year before I could get up to a full system, because I was I barely hanging on with one for standalone. Now, then I had two, and then I had three. And I guess I went about a year with three before I put the fourth one up, you know.
Yeah.
And I don't need any more. That's plenty. So it's interesting. It's almost scary how well this works. But you know, I was going to do some book reports here tonight, and there's one. I was trying to see if I got his book here.
Okay, well, I'll hang up then, and thanks very much for the explanation.
I'm glad we got all your questions. Dave, go ahead and hang up. I want to explain this to the people here. Thanks for coming on, Larry. So anyway. There was a guy named David Bohm, B-O-H-M. I recommend, it's a Dover book called Quantum Theory. Got a bit of math in it, but this guy, he only died in the 90s, and he knew Einstein. And I wish I'd have had him on my show. Of course, I didn't have my show. I should have had him on my show back in the 80s when I was over at K-Fox. But David Bohm, B-O-H-M, he was the emeritus... professor of theoretical physics in the University of London. I'd really recommend that you get a book. Everybody out there, if you're into this stuff, read his work. He really, really covered the hologram very well. and just kind of look past the math that's in the book, because it's very well explained. And if you're like me, I'm taking refresher courses in calculus and algebra now, because I realized that I went through that too fast. You know, Einstein, by the way, just in case you didn't know it, a lot of you feel that if you don't know math, you don't know science. Einstein was terrible in math. He was horrible. He learned to do basic algebra. That's about as far as he didn't do calculus hardly at all. He had people working with him. That he had a guy named Rosen that worked with him. He had people that worked with him that did his math for him. He did the basic stuff, and then he had it done. And that's probably one of the things that held him back with the unified field theory, or what we call the theory of everything. That's the other, those are the two things that are out there right now in the land. And if you guys want to call in, I don't know if we have our website up here yet or not. I'll give you the call-in numbers, but I don't have them right in front of me. And I can look them up, some of them. BBS Radio. So you guys can call in if you don't know the numbers. I'll look up some of them. Because we have call-in numbers. We have an 800 number. Here's one. It's, let's see here. 530-876-3223 or 530-876-3222. There are a couple of numbers that we have for calling in on. It's all a lot of fun. We still don't have our website up. I got another book in today. Came in from Amazon. Real interesting. It's by Maximilian D. Lafayette. And that's last, it's L-A-F-A-Y-E-T-T-E, Lafayette. It's called UFOs and the Alien Agenda, the complete book of UFOs, encounters, abductions, and alien bases on Earth. And it's real interesting. By the way, I'm going to be having Frank Strangers on here. Frank Strangers came from, he was a couple of generations ahead of me in being contacted as a contactee. Yeah, caller. Hello, caller.
Yes. Hi, Fred. How are you tonight?
Hi. Who is this?
This is Anne from Ontario.
How's Anne from Ontario doing?
Very well.
Is it warm up there for you, nice and snuggly tonight?
Not really.
Not really, huh?
Not exactly.
Not exactly. So it's, what, 10 below or something?
Well, no. It's right around zero centigrade.
I know. You know, that's pretty cold. That's a minus Fahrenheit, isn't it? I used to come up there in March, freeze to death. I got to go to New York this year in March, and freeze to death there. But that summertime is when to be up where you are.
Yeah, well, it's windy. That's what makes it so cold.
Yeah. It's been windy down here in Southern California. We've had a very cold winter here, very, very cold. It's all greenhouse effect, you know.
Yeah.
So what do you want to talk about tonight?
Well, I don't have a receptor yet, and I've been mulling it over, trying to figure out for the longest time here about the stone, because I've tested myself, I've had other people test me, and the results are just completely inconclusive.
Yeah, everybody tests you differently.
Pardon me?
Everybody tests you differently?
Yes, and no matter what...
How do they test you? With a pendulum, or do they actually have you hold a colored stone or a gem or something?
Well, I actually went to a store near a friend of mine who I was visiting that sells a lot of different gemstones, and I did hold them, and I still really couldn't get a feel for much of anything, and I don't know what's wrong with me other than the fact that does it make a difference in terms of how you test if you're in very good health as opposed to...
Yeah, if you're in good health, usually a person in good health is up towards a clear stone, all right? Usually could be anything. Usually it would be like anything from an aquamarine to a diamond. And so therefore you're going to test pretty consistently on about everything.
Well, I'm in excellent health, to be honest with you. I mean, I'm very good health, and I was thinking that was the only thing I could figure.
How's your height versus your weight?
Normal. I'm about 5'6", 130.
Okay, you're in good shape. Yeah, I would just jump right up to a cubic zirconian or a diamond. Anything else is going to be boring for you, probably.
Well, that's, to be honest with you, that's what my intuition
was
telling me.
Yeah, that's the smartest thing you got. That's your entanglement. Remember, we were just talking about that. That's your entanglement. Your intuition is nothing more than the entanglement looking a couple of milliseconds ahead of the future than where your ego is. So that's the problem. People don't listen to their intuition. You know?
Well, I try. I'm learning. I'm learning to trust it. I've always known I had it, but trusting it all the time in certain situations is another story.
That's how you become familiar with your own entanglement process, your own holographic. It's not like, you know, remember the butterfly is many pieces and all in a whole, and that's the way life is. It's all there. All you got to do is trust yourself and not try to keep taking the hologram apart and getting it to a small part to examine it. Look at the whole structure. Forget the micro parts of it, and you get the right answer every time.
Now, you mentioned also...
Or what? What sign are you?
Pardon me?
What's your birth sign?
Cancer.
Yeah. Cancers are critical. Fire signs and cancers are critical. What are you, in July?
June 28th.
Yeah, okay. Right off the cusp of Gemini. That's even worse. You're a space cadet.
How so?
You're a critical space cadet.
Yes.
You know, Gemini is always, I always call him a space cadet, you know. Gemini is a great scientific, for scientists, a lot of them were Geminis. A lot of famous ones were Geminis, a lot of them. And a lot of them were Aries, you know. So you're right on the cusp. And that has nothing to do with what you're going to put in the receptor, but it just has to do with human behavior. You know what I mean?
Well, you sort of hit the nail right on the head there. I'm rather critical.
Yeah.
I mean, not in a bad way, I think, but I definitely...
In our society, you know, especially down here in Southern California or out in New York or in some of these big city areas, you better be critical. or you will be swindled out of something or taken for granted or something will happen real quick.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You mentioned also the aquamarine, which is in the blue family. So how does that jive with what you were saying about the clear stone?
Because the aquamarine works through the immune system, and the immune system is your consciousness. And a lot of people look at it and they say, well, that's really a kind of a weak color. It's almost clear. Yeah, it is a weak color, but it's got a lot of clarity, you know. You want to fine-tune your immune system. It's like fine-tuning your intellect if you're healthy. You know, if you're sick, well, then you're fixing your immune system, getting bacteria out and getting viruses out of the body, out of the RNA structure of the DNA, which is where all the stuff, you know, it's all the what's called transcriptase that store themselves in there, which, you know, genetically we've inherited a lot of stuff we don't need. And so you might have to do some house cleaning, and the aquamarine will do that, but that's what we generally sell it for. But it's very good for meditation. I mean, aquamarine is a gorgeous stone. I've got some big chunks of it laying around.
I think that's one of the most beautiful stones I've seen.
Yeah.
I totally agree. But you're not going to get the same advantage of the same chakras, though, are you? You're not going to get the higher chakras, are you?
Yeah, you will, because it's the immune system. You get them all. It works just like the diamond, without the steroid effect. See, when you wear the diamond, you're getting a kick of norepinephrine and epinephrine, you know, an effect of that. It's like speed is the best way to describe it. That's the way most people describe it. That's the way I would describe it. I'm not trying to make a medical claim, but that's what it feels like. It feels like, you know, something, you know, like coffee in your system or something, but more clarity.
Is it also true, Fred? Can I ask you this? It's also true that the higher up the chart you go in terms of colors, you're still going to get the advantages of all the lower ones, correct?
Yeah, because there really is no high or low, you know.
I mean in terms of the chakras, actually, I guess.
Yeah, well, remember the chakras all during the day are all the different colors. It's like each chakra is a rainbow, and the polarity of what your energy is all about determines the polarity of a chakra in the day. You know, most people, when they start out, it's red on the forehead in the morning. It's a red. You know, the pituitary pineal glands are polarized in red, whereas at the end of the day, at midnight, most people are polarized violet in the pituitary and pineal gland. That's why you think about in the morning when you get up, this is what I'm going to do today. This is my driving will factor force. at the end of the day, you figure out what happened at midnight or whatever. You're figuring out, I'm not trying to project, I'm trying to shut it down. Let's see what happened today. Let's see what we're going to do tomorrow. So that's the only way you can have that different attitude of thought is to have a true shift in consciousness. And the only way you can have that is a different polarization of the electrons and protons, you know, in the cells of the body. You follow me?
I follow you. Now,
yeah.
In your receptor book, Fred, you say something quite interesting because I've been studying this like a crazy person here with these stones, and I have been on many other websites looking at their chakras, and the colors are sort of reversed compared to yours, and it does say in your book about the fact that do not confuse older chakra and color charts written by others with six colors. They were intended for the Piscean age and are obsolete in the Aquarian age.
Right.
You totally lost me. So everybody else who's out there who's showing these the colors as they correlate to the chakras, they're all out of date?
Yeah, they're out of date because they don't understand it's a dynamic factor, not a static factor. Everybody wanted to make, you know, everybody wanted to describe levels of consciousness as bookshelves for a long time, you know?
But it looks like the frequencies are totally inversing. Is that true?
It's constantly reversing. That's how DNA works. You know, right down to the string theory. It's all it is a bunch of colors and sounds. You know, called the music of the spheres. And Pythagoras, he figured that out. It's called Pythagorean theorem. A squared plus B squared equals Z squared. It's very simple stuff. So in the morning, you know, if you're a normal person, you know, in our society, functioning as a normal person, which I would call oddball, but from a normal standpoint, you're going to be red in the top of the chakras and violet at the bottom. But somebody like me doesn't work like that because in the morning I may be going to bed. I may be figuring out when I'm going to bed what happened last night, you know. So my polarization is going to be different. So you have to look. Remember, energy follows thought. And so if energy follows thought, energy is following your thought process and what you're using to manipulate through the hologram. Where what time of day do you do your maximum manipulation? And that's usually where your red spot is. You know, that's the will. Because remember, levels of consciousness are feelings. You know, the heart chakra, love, is a feeling. You know, the base of the spine, the sexual energy is a feeling.
Right.
So it's a combination of understanding what colors correlate to what feelings. Then you can get a handle on it.
Well, that's what I've has been my dilemma is been trying to figure that out there and almost meditating on your charts actually trying to get a feel for it and in my gut I thought I was going to go with a clearer color all along, and I did speak with Michaela.
Yeah.
And she was sort of not trying to talk me out of it, but she said that most people just definitely do never start with that.
No, normally not a diamond, because most people aren't that aware. They don't even know why they're buying a receptor a lot of times.
Yeah.
They see their friends getting results, or they've heard about it, or it's the thing to do, you know,
yeah.
Or their doctor recommends it, or whatever, you know, and then they buy them. But, you know, everybody is different. People that are in the know, they just need to understand them. Once you understand them, then it's another deal. You know?
Yeah, you know what? You need to write the idiot's guide to the nuclear receptor color chart, I think.
Believe it or not, when I buy, you know, when I buy books and a new topic, I get the idiot's guide there's a series of idiot's guides, and I read those a lot because,
so
you know, I'm a slow learner. People think I'm smart. I'm not very smart. I'm a slow learner, but when I finally learn something, I really understand it. I take a long time to figure something out.
Yeah, well, I flunked driver's ed twice until I got it. But then when I got it, I really got it.
Yeah, that's how it works, you know. And I can go faster to memorize something, but that memorization is not where it's at. It's really feeling it in your stomach, you know. Once you get a feeling there, then it's with you for the rest of your life.
Absolutely,
yeah.
Absolutely. Can I ask you one final quick question here? And it's the gold versus the silver. And the combination where you've got the gold, what do you call it? Like a gold bridge?
The gold bridge and the silver base, the duotone.
That's the other thing I'm kind of confused about. I heard you on your last week's show talking about one of your clients, one of your famous clients. You were trying to talk into getting the gold, and he wouldn't give up his silver. But
Norton. Yeah.
I thought that was upgrading to something better.
Well, not for Ken. You know, Ken Norton. You know, I don't know the mentality of a world class fighter. I know Muhammad Ali, he tested for everything, and he wouldn't wear anything. He made his entire family and his brother Joe wear everything, including his daughter, who's now a famous fighter, grew up wearing my stuff. But these guys have a different mindset. And Ken's a very big teddy bear. He's in top shape, but he had a serious injury. It slowed him down. So I think gold's too much for him. A silver just gets him just right. I offered to give him a gold one because he's so famous and he endorses my products. And that's a cheap endorsement, you know, money-wise for me. I come out on that deal, but he says, no, I'll endorse it with a silver one for nothing because I believe in it. And so when we go do radio and TV shows together, he comes along and he always wears it. He won't take it off. And he goes over to his jeweler and has it clean once in a while because it turns black after a while from the oxidation. You know, when people have high energy and they wear these things, the oxidating factor is humongous. It turns very black very fast. And Ken Norton is one powerful guy. Even in retirement, he's really powerful. I mean, I'm sure he could fight just about as good now as he did when he was younger, at least about two or three rounds. That's kind
so
of.
So if you get the gold bridge with the silver, what does that actually give you functionally
The silver is very intense, and the silver is a tetrahedral molecule. The gold is an octahedral molecule, which has more healing. So with adding the gold on, it tones it down. It spreads the energy across the aura field better. Okay,
ah,
that's why we do the duotone.
It's like a buffer.
Yeah, it's a buffer. Oh. It's not that much more money. It's still less expensive than a solid gold one. And for some people, I don't even recommend a solid gold one, you know?
Yeah.
Most people, if they're going to really get pricey and crazy, if they're going to do solid gold, then I say get a platinum bridge. Now we got the silver, and we reversed it again. Because platinum is the same as the silver molecule, just harder. So I find the duotones work quite well for people, way beyond the silver ones, but the silver ones work. Ken Norton won't even change the bridge on his. He likes the silver bridge. Okay, well, I'm not going to argue with you. But he does have a 3-carat diamond in it.
It's like people who drive a 20-year-old car who won't get a new one because they just love that car.
Yeah, I'm like that. I have some really old cars. I love them. In fact, I drive them more than anything, you know?
Yeah. I really appreciate your time here. You've definitely helped me out a lot and made me feel more comfortable with my own feelings here about this. So,
that's the way it is. And just remember, with the silver one, it'll tarnish a little bit more. You got to rinse it off a little bit more because the silver one is really hot for picking up radiation. They will grab radiation out of your body. The way they work is just so quick. So you got to keep that puppy washed every day. At least most people do. You know, otherwise it turns into like a little lead weight on your chest.
Do they help with chemtrails?
Processing bromine.
Yeah.
All of this is the processing network. And what happens is it's called auric offset. Whenever you use a radionic, a scalar wave device, such as a receptor, what happens is your aura field is so charged, then your pH is so balanced towards alkalinity, that any acidic vibration, whether it be a chemical like bromine coming from contrails, or radiation, which is free radical, you know, free radical and acidic energy on your aura is the same thing. It's something you don't like, but you're going to process it, but you'll be able to process it. If you can't process it, you absorb it.
Yeah.
And then when you absorb it, you become it. Eventually it tips your immune system over, and then you got a problem.
Yeah. Very good.
Well,
some people
have a high top. A person that exercises as a vegetarian, you know, eats light foods, drinks a lot of water, is going to process a lot easier than somebody that's, you know, laying down with heavy foods, you know. They're going to have problems all their life, and it's going to get really, usually after about 50, if people don't take care of themselves, they have serious problems.
Yeah.
And people as far as I know, anybody that's ever worn our receptor for any length of time, I don't know of any cancer anywhere out there that anybody's ever contacted.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and that's going back to 1981. So I think we've had a pretty good track record.
So, Fred, you don't eat fish either. I mean, obviously, you said you're a vegetarian. So if you're going to go vegetarian, get off of everything, even the fish.
Yeah, I used to eat fish. I love fish. I love rainbow trout. That was my favorite.
Yeah,
so then
too.
When I found out all the chemicals that were in the stream, because I was working with the Forest Department, and they were looking at water coming out of caves and how it got dirty in about 50 feet with the exposure to the air, I quit eating fish. That was the end of that. You know, I quit eating chicken a long time ago when I got around people that raised them and saw all the chemicals. 6 weeks to make a fryer from the egg. You know, that's why these young women have such large breasts. I mean, they like it, but it's not healthy for them. Then they end up getting cancer.
Yeah.
A lot of these, you know, large-breasted young women, when they hit their early 30s, have cancer. A lot of them do. Because they got that the same steroid that caused the breast to get larger. And that's kind of neat for, you know, kids in college and stuff, because they're considered sexy. But the bottom line is, that turns on them when they get into their 30s, and now they got breast cancer. Now that some of them don't have any breasts after that, they have to have them removed.
Yeah.
So there's trade-offs here, you know. There's a lot of trade-offs. Well, anyway,
Fred,
I guess we kind of ran out of time. Any other questions?
Yeah, I was going to say, I'll let you go because your show is just about over here. So thank you so much for all the information and all your good work. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, that's great. All right, thanks for calling in, Ann. And you're listening to Dr. Fred Bell's Health, Science, and Energy Show, winding down worldwide in 179 countries. We're having a lot of fun tonight, like we always do. I love these open mic nights because it's the time I can just hang out with you guys, you know. Next week we're going to have a guest that's psychic, and she predicts how presidents behave, and she's written some books, and she's pretty well known, and she travels around the world. Week after that, we're working at Frank Strange's to get him on. He goes back to George Van Tassel's time and Dan Fry's time. He's one of the original U.S. contactees that became world famous about the time I was born. So we're going to have him on. He's also, by the way, a judge. He's an actual federal judge dealing with immigration cases. So we might even get into that. A lot of people think Frank Strange is a space cadet. Well, he's a federal judge. So currently on the bench. So with that, I also want to thank everybody over at Tan Talk Radio and for listening to us at 1340. My little voice of Tampa Bay will be coming down there to see you live and talk to you live in, I think it's May. I forget the exact days. We'll have that up, and we'll be advertising, and we'll be up on the BBS page. In January the 26th, we're going to be out of Woodland Hills doing a sound healing conference. February, we're just going to the Tucson Rock Show. March, we're going to be in New York, the last week of March. April, we're going to be in San Francisco. Maybe we'll be broadcasting live up there. We don't know yet. Doing the New Living Expo. So we're going to be around. We're getting out a little bit this year. And, yeah, the book's actually making progress. So you've been listening to The Cool Show with Dr. Fred Bell's Health, Science, and Energy Show. And I'm getting out of here now.